Well, today we're talking about following, and we know it must be an important term because there's lots of songs written about following. That's how you know, right? You know love's important because there's lots of songs that talk about love. So we know that following's an important term, and if you're like me and you've grown up in the church, you've sung lots of songs. I'll follow thee, of life the giver, we might have sung, or follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Or the classic when I was a young person was, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. And just to show you how much fun we used to have when I was a kid, when we'd sing this song, all the girls would stand up when we sang the word fishers, and all the guys would stand up when we sang the words men. And so we'd be standing up and sitting down all the way through the song. It was great. It was great. We would have practiced it here, except you can't. We aren't able to get a camera on everybody here in the room with me. I will make you fishers of men. In fact, that song, that chorus, comes from this story. And as I've been reading this story this week, I've kind of got the idea that it's an extraordinary story. I know it's one that we're familiar with and that we've sung about or talked about a lot. And it's this central idea of actually following that is so extraordinary. I mean, imagine if you're at work, just your everyday work, there you are in your office, or perhaps you're making a coffee at McDonald's, whatever your work is, and a bloke walks past and he says to you, follow me. And you say, righto, I will. And you walk away and you leave your job. I mean, that's what happened. Look at James and John. They're fishing with their father, the family business. They're fishing in the nets, fishing with their nets. And Jesus walks past and says to them, follow me. So they left their dad and they went and followed him. I wonder what their dad thought. I wonder what he was thinking as he saw his two sons walk away to follow Jesus. It's kind of both an ordinary event and an extraordinary event, I think. And it's an important story, and it's setting the scene, really, for what is to come in this gospel. Every gospel writer has these stories of these disciples who hear the call to follow Jesus. And really, we'd say that they want us to notice the following, not the followers. I mean, half of the disciples, if we're honest, are pretty faceless. We don't really know much about them or what they did, get any sense of their character. I'm sure they're important in their own time. But in terms of the gospel record of what the gospel writers wanted us to notice, it was the following. This idea that Jesus called people and immediately they followed him. Now, when I was a young person again, which is a long time ago now, when I was a teenager, for some reason we had two DYSs, or Divisional Youth Secretaries, who'd studied Greek. And that wasn't all that common. And I remember when I was a teenager, they used to preach these sermons and they kept on banging on about Greek words. And I thought, why do they keep talking about the Greek? The Bible's written in English. But apparently it was originally written in Greek. And we need to pay attention to this word, particularly this word for following. You see, because it's not the same word as disciple. They're two different words and they have two different meanings. Now, they are words that are bound together. They're ideas that are bound together. It's not either or here. In fact, Jesus will go on to say in Mark chapter 8, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, this is the words of Jesus, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. All right, so here's these two different Greek words, and they're two different words in English, of course, as well. And they both explain something different about this business of belonging to Jesus. Now, the first word is about being a disciple, and the Greek word for that is mathetes, and really just means a learner. It's the word we get maths from, as it happens. And it's about being a learner. So learning from Jesus, where Jesus is the teacher. And it's an interesting word because it's a word we talk about a lot. But the word itself disappears from the New Testament after Acts 21. But that's okay, because at the heart of this idea of being a Jesus person is this idea of being a learner. We're like Mary, we would sit at Jesus' feet, metaphorically for us, of course. But we learn what God is like. We learn what love is like. We learn what compassion means. We learn of God's power. We learn of his forgiveness. We learn of his grace. So we'd learn about that. But then there's this other word, this following word. And it's akolutheo, just in case you want to know. And it means to follow, and it's the word we get acolyte from. And it means to accompany. And in fact, the root word that makes up most of that Greek word literally means walking the same road. That's what it means, walking the same road. To be a Jesus follower is to walk the same road. It's walk alongside Jesus. It's walk along with Jesus. It's joining Jesus in his ministry. And it's an important word, an important idea, and it's central to the Christian faith. And yes, of course, it is an ordinary word. Following is an ordinary word, just like it is in English. And it's used all the way through the New Testament, sometimes not describing discipleship. But there's no discipleship without following. That's what Jesus said. And so for us, this is a value, that we value being followers of Jesus. Now, that's not a surprise, right? You'd expect that any church would say that. In fact, any church should have really, you would think, basically the same set of values. But they're worth defining and they're worth restating. Because often there's unstated values that are part of organisations. And so saying them and saying them out loud and talking about them helps clarify what matters most to us. It helps us be intentional in living them. You see, we have to be wary of values creep. I mean, we talk about mission creep, but it's a way in which values creep. And not all values are written down, you see. Let me give you an example. When it comes to musicians and worship, one church might value inclusion. One church might value excellence in music. And why would they be different? You see, the church that values inclusion may say, you might not be the best at your instrument, may not be the best singer, but we want you to come along and be part of it because we love people being part of things. So we value inclusion. So come and join us. Another group might value excellence in worship, and they say, well, if you want to join us, you have to audition. And if you don't pass the audition, you can't join. Now, that may not be written down anywhere, but there's a value that drives the way the group behaves, you see. Lots of the values that have driven Salvation Army behaviour are not even written in our orders and regulations. They're ones that we assume as an organisation. So we want to say right now that being a follower of Jesus is a central value for us and is central to everything. And actually, it's not as easy as it sounds. And it's not that we forget it, but that it slips down the list. For instance, following matters more than soldiership. All right? Soldiership is a subset of being a follower of Jesus. Making people soldiers is not our preeminent value. Making people followers of Jesus is. So what matters most is that our young people or those who come to join us are encouraged and helped to commit to being followers of Jesus. Now, if they also become junior soldiers and adherents and senior soldiers, that's great. But what will always matter most is that they choose to follow Jesus. And what will matter is that we've done all we can to help people make that choice. That's what it means to value being a follower of Jesus. So it means something practical. For instance, it will mean that we should have faith pathways for all our ministries. So right now we're assessing what we're going to do in our new space, in our new context, in this new place, in a post-COVID world, right? We're re-examining our programs. We've got lots of ideas about the programs that we want to launch, building on all that we've learnt in the decades of ministry in Parramatta. But we would want that in every program, in every ministry, there's a faith pathway, by which we mean that people will hear the call of Jesus and will encourage them on their journey and will have steps in place where people can learn more about him. Yes, the Methodes word. But they can also follow him. And we will help them do that. Helping people hear Christ's call to follow is central to everything we do. So in a few weeks' time, as Dorothy announced before, we're going to have a planning meeting. And hopefully we're going to plan for a world where COVID won't re-emerge and we'll be able to have events and celebrations and all sorts of things will happen. But for each of those, we will ask ourselves, how are our values reflected in this? You see, it's always been a danger for the Salvation Army that in our desire to help people, in our desire to make the world a better place, even a genuine desire to share the love of Jesus in good works, that somehow making Jesus followers is not central. It is possible right now in the Salvation Army that there are places with the Salvation Army name on the door that run programs that make a difference in their communities, but where no one is encouraged to follow Jesus. Now, we know that's a danger, and our leaders know that too, right? And it's what Linda Bond, when she started the 2020 thing, that was her main concern, that every place where there was a Salvation Army on the door, that it was possible to come to faith, that there were pathways to faith. Now, we need to be clear about this. We're good, better, best people, all right? So to help someone is always good. To make your community a better place, to give them a helping hand, to give them a gift card, to give them some food, to enable them to get their lives in order, to provide casework for them. They are good things, and we should never stop doing good things. God is the author of all that is good. But it's an even better thing if they hear the gospel as well, right? It's a better thing if they hear the gospel. And the best thing is when they become followers of Jesus. And that's what we mean by it being a value. There is good and there is better and there is best. And for us, being followers of Jesus is a value that's central. It will always be best when people choose to follow him, always. And of course, personally, we want following Jesus to be central to our lives. We want it to be central to our identity. We want to know and intentionally join Jesus on the road, to join him on his ministry, to walk with him every day. And sometimes you and I need the reminder that this is a core value with both spellings of the word for us as a people of God, but it is also a personal value. And sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes we need help. And that's the beauty of community, I think. Lots of you will know that last year I actually went on a Red Shield ride. I rode from Sydney to Melbourne the long way round. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I remember one particular day, we were riding 185 kilometres that day with 2,500 metres of climbing. And the guy who had organised the ride said, "I'll ride with you today." And there was so much climbing that when we came to these long climbs, 2 and 3 kilometre climbs, that he would come next to me. And he put his hand on my back and he would just give me a little push. He wasn't doing all the work, but he helped. All right, he helped me to climb. He helped me to stay there. He helped me to stay part of the group. And we all need help. This business of following Jesus, it's not always easy. And sometimes, truth be told, we follow slowly. Sometimes we follow uncertainly. Sometimes we've stopped along the way. Sometimes we're not sure if we're following Jesus with all our heart. I think back to those first disciples who heard this call of Jesus. Do you think they all did equally well at all times? Do you think that all times are 100% sure of their decision, the response to Jesus' call? I suspect they didn't. We won't always get it right as a core or as individuals, but we must follow nonetheless. And yes, it's easy to be dropped sometimes, to slip out the back. But Christ's call to us has not wavered. His voice still says, "Come with me. I've work for you to do." So let's choose to respond. Let's choose to walk the road with Jesus, to be his followers through and through. There is no greater calling.